Production. Recorded live.
Hello, everybody. This is Rick, and this is Affair Recovery subscription site Q&A call for the 29th of August. I apologize profusely for being late. So let's begin with our first question today. It's on relationship. Rick, I am the betrayer. My wife is the hurt spouse. When her anxiety levels get high, I want to help bring them down. In your experience, how can I best do that? And it is very difficult if you're the person creating the anxiety, if you're kind of the source, to sometimes be the one who's the healer. I remember once a woman telling me how her husband had lost his temper and grabbed her and thrown her across the room, and she hit a table and broke her arm. And while she was laying on the floor, he saw her arm, you know, at a 90-degree angle, and he was also a doctor, and he said, "Oh, quick, give me your arm. I need to reset the bone." And she said she just had this out-of-body experience thinking about how she was going to try to place her hands or her arm in the hands of someone who had just broken it to now be the healer, and that it was very confusing for her. Well, I think that as we want to help our mates, and I think that maybe there's some things you can do, and I'll give a few suggestions here. Remember that sometimes space from you is the thing that also helps them calm down, but in a way that is safe. If they're able to let you be a part of what's going on with them, one of the first things I would suggest is just being what I call a safe vessel of anger. Allow them to really be upset and to vent, and don't be defensive and absolutely don't be reactive. Just continue their being present with them and allowing them to cry. At the same time, if you do things such as trying to calm them down by telling them to do something, they may just absolutely begin to resist that. One of the things that typically helps is if you can make eye contact with them and just say, you know, please look at me and try to see my heart, but just maintain eye contact with them. And a lot of times that will be helpful with their anxiety level, just being able to see you. Ask them to come join you in the moment and just say, let's just be right here right now. And sometimes if they can just get to the moment, and because the fear, the emotional echoes they're experiencing are coming from the pain that was created by the trauma at the point of revelation or discovery or multiple points, and those emotional echoes come up into the present. So if you can get them to be present with you in the moment, oftentimes that's helpful. Another thing is try to identify beforehand things you can do or things that you do that really create or trigger the anxiety. If you can minimize those things and she can see the efforts you're making to try and control and minimize those things, that'll be very helpful for her in terms of knowing that you're working and helping, and you may even be able to eliminate enough of the triggers that it makes the day smoother for her. So those are just a few suggestions. Obviously, praying for her at those moments silently, if nothing else. Ask her if it's easier for her for you to be present in those moments or to be gone. And you can also see if there's specific feedback she can give you about what would be helpful for her in those situations. Because frequently, people may have some ideas of what could be done that could help. And so that is a great way to maybe find specific pieces that you could work on. So the next question here is on trust. Rick, trust is still very difficult for me since my husband managed to keep at least 10-year affair and addiction to pornography a secret. What are the advantages and disadvantages of asking your spouse to take a polygraph test, and when is it advisable to do it? Thank you. So I wish I had a touch more information on this one, and I don't know if you're on the call. I know someone's logged in here, and if you're on the call, being able to chat would be nice. So I think some of the information, if you're actually able to communicate with me at all here, that would be helpful is knowing how long have you been married? What percentage of the relationship has this gone on? Is it something that began after the marriage was already started? Or, okay, it's not that person. So let me make a few assumptions here then. You know, if somebody's been married like 20 years and this began into the relationship, then that would maybe make a little difference to me. If it's something that's been going on all along, then you probably don't have a baseline to know what anything else might look like. What I usually tell people in terms of healing and kind of knowing if you're safe, hopefully as you go through this process, if your mate is broken and if their heart, again, is soft, there should be a new level of intimacy that the two of you establish as you go through this process, a new sense of connection. For couples that establish that new level of intimacy, it provides a barometer by which to gauge connectedness and disconnectedness. People cannot have an affair if I think they're... And still really maintain a deep level of intimacy at the same time with their mate if their hearts are soft. So for that reason, if your husband is very broken, I think you will know clearly whether or not you're safe. Now, the question on the polygraph, there are two reasons that I suggest polygraphs. One is if the actually is for the sake of the hurt spouse. And if the hurt spouse, even though the guy claims that he has told her absolutely everything and she is still incapable of believing what he has said, oftentimes in order to help establish a baseline, I'll have that person take a polygraph so that she can know all of the information is out and that that hopefully allows her the ability to quiet that voice that's going off in her head telling her that it's still dangerous and that she can't reengage or that she still doesn't know all the story. If she continues to feel that something is going on, then I usually recommend the person then take a second polygraph for her sake, again, to show whether there is or there isn't any sort of ongoing activity so that she can know whether or not she's safe. If the person is actually able to pass two polygraphs, then I generally assume that what has occurred as a result of his betrayal and the damage that he has done to her, that she's literally struggling now with issues of probably fear and paranoia. They're just almost irrational. And for that reason, when they pass the second polygraph, my suggestion to that person is they then get on medication to at least help with what's happening emotionally for them. Because there are conditions with PTSD and things like that that can create post-traumatic stress disorder, that can create a sense of paranoia and fear where there really needs to be a medical intervention to help them begin to get their feet back on the ground so that they can even assess what is reality. The second reason I take polygraphs is if somebody has had a long history of lying and it's very difficult for them to be truthful. I will use a series of polygraphs for a number of years, sometimes as long as 5 years. simply because I need to help them, and they agree to this, quiet the voice in their head that's saying, I won't tell anybody this time. And if that polygraph then serves as a way, almost as a conscience, until they've got a new way of living and a new way of being honest and get a sense of what normal feels like, then at times I'll have people take a polygraph. If they pass the polygraph, then we that is established as a baseline, and then we continue to do annual polygraphs for up to 5 years just to continue to help them have a safety net in terms of moving forward for their own treatment. Normally, if someone's very, very broken and non-defensive, the polygraph isn't needed. And there's only a problem when there's been so much deception, I think, that the hurt spouse really is incapable of believing it because of just the ongoing chronic nature where trust has been totally destroyed. And the person that typically I'm having take multiple polygraphs, there's a hardness for them. They're really not totally broken and trying to be incredibly honest. So it's a it kind of depends on that particular situation, but hopefully that'll give you some help. And your last thing is it advisable? And I would just say it can sure be useful in those situations. So I hope that you can feel comfortable with the answers you've gotten to this point. Next question, what to do with crisis? I wish there was a helpline for crisis. We get to an impasse when we try to discuss my pain and everything turns about him. Then it's a volcano eruption. This happened last week before our conference call. Any suggestions? Well, if you know the pattern, because when somebody becomes defensive, they will typically make it all about them. So if you know that that pattern already exists, talking about it before you talk about it, that's called metacommunication, is oftentimes a great technique to help. So it's almost like you say, okay, typically I'm going to talk about my pain, and when I talk about my pain, typically what happens is you then turn around and make it all about you. So how can we keep that from happening? And literally the two of you problem solving and trying to avoid the dance of going to that place is something that can be useful. There is a in the aftercare program, there's some work on that particular technique. We use a technique called emotionally focused therapy, EFT. There's a book by Sue Johnson called Hold Me Tight. That might be something the two of you can read. And because ultimately what you both are seeking is, I guess, the understanding or you just want to know that you really matter to your mate and that they care about you. You want to be able to feel that emotional connection. And it sounds like when someone gets turns it around and it becomes all about them, a lot of times what that individual's dealing with is a great deal of shame. And so when you begin to talk about the pain, they immediately personalize that and begin being defensive, saying, that's not what I meant to do. I didn't cause this. They try to push away your pain by talking about what they were doing and trying to be understood so you won't see them so negatively. The only other thing I can suggest is when you do speak about your pain, again, make sure that you're talking in I feel messages and try not to use you messages. That's something that can be helpful in terms of hopefully helping him see that it's all about you and not about him. Another technique that you can use that is sometimes helpful is starting the conversation by saying, I'm going to talk about my pain and I don't know that you're going to be able to not be defensive. And a lot of times if you tell someone that you don't know if they're capable of not being defensive, if they're like me, they'll sit there and they go, no, I'm not going to be defensive. And the last thing they ever want to do is be defensive in that situation because they don't want to let you be right or prove you right. So that's one that Stephanie used on me all the time that worked really well. If she would tell me I wasn't going to be able to do it, then I worked really hard at making sure that she wasn't right. So that might be one other suggestion. I hope that as you go along in 911 marriage that you're going to be able to get better at this. I mean, I certainly for your sake would hope you could get to that place because I know that's got to be a very, very difficult situation. And probably the last thing you want to be struggling with at this time. And I believe that is all of our questions for the day. I certainly want to, again, apologize for my lateness for the call today. We were working on a meeting. We're heading to Florida next week. There will be no conference call next week because the whole team has got to be out in Florida working at the Experience Conference. So let me check one more thing before I click off here. Just want to make sure that there aren't any more questions I've lost. There we go. So the person that's still on the call here, do you still have any questions? If not, okay, they said, no, I'm good. Then we'll end it here. Hope you have a great week, and we'll talk to you week after next. God bless.